What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Self-Helpless. I'm Taylor Tomlinson.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And I'm Kelsey Cook.
And oh my gosh, you guys, we are so close to our Patreon goal of 500. We're about 4/5 of the way there. And we added so many more patrons last month. Thank you, babe, for coming on and talking about how you proposed to me.
Yeah.
If you haven't signed up yet, Kyle came on and we broke down our entire proposal story and how he pulled it off. And it was very cute.
It's amazing.
And it's very nice. And when we reach 500 patrons on Patreon, we're going to do a live stream Q&A exclusively for our patrons so you guys can get to lead the discussion. All right. So that's only going to happen once we get to 500. So tell your friends if you haven't joined. It's $5 a month. It is literally a cup of coffee. Like,
and you get so much for those 5 months. You get, I mean, dare I say, you get more than a cup of coffee's worth of joy.
Yeah.
From... are like two bonus episodes, that's a lot.
Yeah, think about it this way. If you go to a movie, it costs like $10 and that's like an hour and a half.
And that's like a matinee.
Yeah.
In like, I don't know, Kansas.
Yes.
Like if you go to a movie here in LA at like 10 p.m.
Oh, $20.
$20 at least.
Charge it.
Right.
Charge it.
And also on the Patreon, we respond to all of your emails and your advice questions. So the Patreon is like all about you guys. And you get customized feedback and advice. You know, we do the
rewards,
best we can.
Yeah.
And rewards. And we also added a new segment.
Yes.
Called the Deep Shit segment, where we start off each Patreon episode by talking about lots of secrets that we're not able to share on the public show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we are making some changes to our Patreon. First off, starting this month, our one-on-one rewards. So that would be Face and Space with Kelsey, where Kelsey gives you beauty tips and feng shuis your space. Doing It with Delaney, which is Creative Consulting with Delaney. And then I do customized journals for people. Those are the one-on-one rewards. And those are going to be open to both the $25 tier and the $40 tier. And... yeah, so if you want to hear a bunch of secrets and also get to know us a little better, yeah. Like, and get those specialized rewards, I mean, spring for $25 or $40 a month, and at $40 you get that cool Helpster t-shirt,
yeah. So,
which I still want one,
and unlimited
way.
Comedy
and unlimited
tickets,
free tickets for life. To all comedy shows.
Yes.
Also, I just wanted
all of our comedy shows,
yes.
Not all.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
In
yeah.
The whole world. For the $40 patrons, I just want to let you know this will not affect. Your reward at all. We're going to be giving one reward to the $25 tier and one reward to the $40 tier. So it's not going to be taking anybody's chances away of getting it.
Mm-hmm. And then we are in the early stages of planning a 2020 Self-Helpless tour.
Yes! Self-Helpless Live, baby!
So we want to visit the top five U.S. cities with the most helpsters. So the faster that you can build up your helpster community where you live, the more likely we are to come see you guys. So just keep that in mind when you're spreading the good word out there.
Yeah. Yes. And if you don't know about podcast statistics and stuff, we have a website host where we host the show, what we can see where all of our listeners are coming from. So basically, yeah, we can see where these downloads are. So
exactly.
Tell everybody in your area and you could be one of those top five cities.
Yeah, it always lists where it's at. And you guys can actually affect what those numbers are by just like talking about it with your friends, your family, sharing around with your coworkers, and then we can come to you.
Yes.
All right. So I mentioned this on our Patreon episode, actually, speaking of Patreon, but we are going to try something new this episode. And if you guys like it, we'll keep it. If you don't, we'll switch it back. Just let us know. But instead of doing our segments like Da Fuck and Treat Yourself and Good Shit at the beginning and then doing the meat after, we're going to get into the full course right up top and then do our more personal segments at the end. And we just want to see how it goes. So yeah. Let us know if you guys like that. And we're going to try it right now.
Yeah, but we will kick you off with a quotable first.
Oh, yeah. We'll always give you a quotable.
We got to do that. This quotable is from a helpster of ours posted in the Facebook group, I believe. And it is, "An apology without change is just manipulation."
Ooh.
So good.
Damn.
That so true. Is
sounds like a Beyonce song. So
it so really true. Does Beyonce sound lyric. Like a Beyonce song.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. We should send that to her. She probably reads her emails, right?
She'll probably hear. Yeah.
So I'm really excited to talk about the book that we're doing on today's episode. I've seen it all over the place. I feel like I've sent you guys screenshots of it multiple times. I've been like, we got to do this.
Yeah.
And it's called 13 Things Mentally Strong People Don't Do by Amy Morin. And the backstory on this book is actually, I didn't know this, but so Amy wrote her list of the 13 things mentally strong people don't do at one of the lowest points in her life. She has a TEDx talk about it if you want to go and like hear the whole story. But basically she published it online hoping it might help someone else, and it went viral.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's been read by more than 50 million people and then led to her book.
Holy crap.
Which turned into an international bestseller that's been translated into 30 languages. Okay.
Jesus.
And then she even wrote a follow-up called 13 Things Mentally Strong Parents Don't Do.
Oh.
So yeah. Oh. She's kind of a badass.
I'm so curious.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Isn't it crazy that something you start when you're just at rock bottom is the thing that like you're going to, that's your legacy now.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
But that's when shit happens though. When you're at your lowest point, that's when the growth happens. And when you're at your most vulnerable and you show and share the vulnerability, that's when people connect with you. Everybody is tired of the fluffy bullshit.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and I think things happen when you're not really trying to get anything from it.
Yeah.
She was doing that just out of pure like desire to do it.
Yeah.
Not looking for a reward, just like, hey, this is going to help me right now. Maybe it can help some other people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pure intentions for sure.
Absolutely. Shall we get into it?
Let's get into it.
The meat. Oh my gosh.
All right.
So early in the morning.
13 habits.
Yes.
Here we go. Number one, replace self-pity with gratitude.
Ooh.
Everyone will have personal struggles in their life. How you react to these situations says a lot about you. Those who aren't knocked down when things get tough don't spend precious time pitying themselves.
Mm.
Yeah, this is a hard one.
Yeah,
you know,
that's something I feel like I definitely struggle with that a lot.
Self pity.
Yeah, like it's easy for one thing to lead to another, and then kind of get in that bad place where you're not being glass half full or grateful. You're just focusing on what's bad.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where I do feel like when I'm in that place of like, oh, nothing's working, if I do like a gratitude list, that always makes me feel better and also like a piece of shit simultaneously.
Oh,
yeah. You know, we're like, oh, everything's pretty great. Also, wow, I'm an ungrateful little bitch, you know, like, so it's kind of, I mean, obviously you should think of it in a more positive light as like, oh, I am actually very fortunate. Let's get back out there, buddy. But I it does kind of become a little like embarrassing for me sometimes when I'm like, oh, I guess I didn't realize that.
Right.
But like the people who are mentally strong, you never see people doing that. Like Delaney, I certainly never see you doing that. I never see you self-pitying at all. Like, yeah, you're very much one of these people that, like, takes responsibility for everything and, like, grabs life by the balls and grabs other people's lives by the balls. And it's like, all right, this is what we do. Yes. And I think you have a lot of empathy for people, and you are have a pretty good, like, perspective as far as, like, you want to make everything as good as possible, but you understand, like, okay, life's not always going to be fair.
Right.
And, like, right, things are going to come up and you can't control that.
Right. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I also,
so you do one of these things. We'll see how you do the rest of the list.
I know, right? Well, I was going to say, I agree, but sometimes I can swing too far to the end of the spectrum where I sometimes don't allow myself to feel bad at all. And I will distract myself, yeah, by doing things in order not to feel bad, so I don't get stuck in, like, a self-pity spiral, which is also not good. I think you need to, you have to feel your feelings and then work yourself out of them. But for me, I'm actually trying to do the opposite, where I'm like, okay, if I'm feeling shitty, don't go straight to just, like, working on something that will hopefully help. Why don't you just let yourself feel like this and then do that?
Yeah.
So I agree with you that I don't do this, but I'm also trying not to be so far on the end of the spectrum where I don't, you know, where I'm not, like, honest with my own feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a tough balance. Okay. Number two, hold on to your power and forgive others. So don't let the opinions of others determine how you think and act in life. Refuse to delegate power over your life to others. Forgiving others enables you to reclaim your power by placing your focus back on you.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, they don't. Another thing she says is, like, mentally strong people don't say things like, my boss makes me feel bad, because they know that they have control over their own emotions and they control how they respond to things.
Yeah. So I love that. You know, this actually just came up for me recently, where don't let the opinions of others determine how you think or act in life. I think I've told this story before on the podcast, but when I was, like, maybe 18, my boyfriend at the time, who was, like, my first love, we were together off on and off for, like, 4.5 years. I showed him my art for the first time and he said that it sucked, basically. I think I've told this to you guys, right?
Yeah.
I'm horrified every time I hear it.
Yeah. He said it was bad. He said it was, like, whatever, anybody could do it. It's not very original, all that stuff. And you know what? Maybe, I don't know. Maybe that's true. I don't know.
But that's your boyfriend. But also, lie.
Exactly. Lie. And
it's not true. Lie.
Well,
thank
you.
You're an incredible artist.
But, like, if that's his opinion, lie.
Yeah.
You dummy.
Right. Yeah. But I subconsciously let that dictate a lot of my life. I don't even think I realized at the time, but I stopped painting. I stopped doing art for years and years. And to the point where I actually went into college as an art major. And within the first week I switched majors because I didn't feel confident enough to be an art major in college. And I just want to say, cut to how many years later? 18. Yeah. Now I'm 29. 11 years later, I'm a fucking professional artist.
Yeah.
I get paid for my art, you motherfucker. How about that? How about that? So it took me a very long time to unblock myself and start creating again. Yeah. But man, if I had these tools when I was that age, I wouldn't have let anybody tell me what I was going to do or not going to do with my life, you know? Right. But that just came up actually recently for me talking to somebody. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
Mm, that's great.
Jeez. I feel like we have to deal with that a lot too, being on social media. You have to learn how to, like, protect yourself, have boundaries. Tay, you sent me a text over the weekend about, I don't really want to, like, get into it fully on here, but there was, like, kind of, like, social gatherings and I was, like, really just feeling tired and I didn't really feel like going out. And sometimes you're around people who, like, really peer pressure you and make you feel bad if you're not going out and being, like, crazy and wild and, like, drinking a whole bunch when they're in the mood to and you're not. And you told me, like, protect your energy. Mm-hmm. And that was just exactly what I needed to hear. And sometimes, I mean, fuck, I was just in Vegas a couple weeks ago for my bachelorette and I was, you know, having so much fun. But sometimes you just don't feel like going out or you're really tired. And I have a hard time with people making me feel bad about that. Like, for some reason, it really affects me.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's, like, the FOMO of it or what it is, but just Taylor saying protect your energy really helped me confirm, like, okay, yeah, I just need to take care of myself.
Yeah. And I think that applies to any social event too. Like, it's not just like going out and partying late at night where it's like an obvious choice. If you don't want to go to a baby shower because there's going to be a bunch of people there you don't know and it's going to drain you for the rest of the day, don't go.
Right.
You know, don't give people the power to make you feel guilty about the fact that you're not going out to do something, because at the end of the day, like, who cares?
Right.
Why do they even care so much?
Yeah. Right, and if you're supporting that person, you can take them to lunch on your own or come by on a different time and drop them a gift. But
welcome to Fail Better, David Duchovny's new podcast with Lemonada Media. On Fail Better, David, who has experienced both low and high profile failures throughout his life, explores the vast world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives. Each week, he'll chat with guests like Ben Stiller, Bette Midler, and more about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, he hopes listeners can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out now wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
I also have struggled with this big time with the whole veganism thing, Kels, is like, for me, that social pressure got to me the first time, which is when I stopped. But I think it's this deep rooted feeling of wanting to be liked no matter what. And sometimes putting what other people want from you above what you actually want for yourself.
Yes.
So maybe that could be part of it. But yeah, I feel that hard.
Oof, the people pleaser.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, always be ready to embrace change. Oh, that's a hard one. Mentally strong people, like, you won't hear them trying to avoid change. They're welcoming to positive change. They're willing to be flexible. They understand that change is inevitable and believe in their abilities to adapt. So it's not even that you think like nothing bad will ever happen to you. This is something I've been struggling with because I always think something bad's going to happen. And I've been trying to shift that mentality to like, okay, if something bad does happen, I am strong enough to deal with it, whatever it is.
Right.
That's where I'm trying to get to. So something she says is like, first ask yourself how a change would make you feel. Okay, do those thoughts and emotions help you? Are they valid and worth listening to? And then once you've moved past your initial reaction to change, you can set a plan for change. So number one, create a 30-day goal. Two, have concrete daily changes in your behavior. Three, make a list of anticipated hurdles along the way. That's a good idea so you don't like get thrown off. Four, create a source of accountability. Ask a friend to help keep you accountable. And five, measure your progress, because it's really easy to get discouraged when you're trying to like change a habit or, you know, make some other big life change. And then you know, something comes up that you didn't anticipate and you go, oh, well, I'm not as far along as I wanted to anyway. And you may be further along than you even realize.
See, I'm not connecting with this because I'm kind of addicted to change. Like,
oh, really?
I welcome it.
But that's what I'm saying. You're a mentally strong person.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's what they're telling you to do.
This is the good thing. It's saying,
I know. So I guess
you're not connecting to it because you already did it. That's what you're bragging. That's
no,
what you're
I don't
saying?
Know. But I'm addicted to it. But is that okay?
Yeah, I think so. This is just explaining how somebody who has trouble with change should approach it.
Okay.
Like how they should process it.
Okay. Gotcha.
But you don't have any issues with that. You're like, bring it on, baby.
Right. But is that if you're too far on the other end of the spectrum where you actually actively seek change, is that fucked up?
I don't think so.
I'm definitely like you, Delaney. Okay. I'm 100% the same. I don't know if that's part of like adrenaline addiction or I don't know. So Delaney and I are both Aries.
Yeah.
And like, I don't get that much into the astrological signs, but there are some things where, you know, you and I are very similar in certain ways.
Yeah.
And I wonder, I'm like, oh, is that part of, I wonder if that's part of that. But I do get really like antsy and like stir crazy. And like, I feel like I want to move like every few years and want to like change things up all the time. Like,
right.
I'm very unsettled.
Yeah. I would have to agree with
that. And I just want to sit under a blanket. Yeah. That's all I want most of the time.
Man. Okay, number four. Don't get distracted by things you can't control.
Oof. Ouch.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch. That feels personal.
That hurts me. Yeah, I'm... I need to figure out how to get over this fear of death that I'm dealing with, because it is...
Didn't you say that looking into near-death experiences was helping?
That helped a little bit for like 2 days.
Oh, yeah.
And now I'm back to just like, but nobody knows. And I don't want to be energy. I want to be this. You know, it's like, yeah. It's so stupid because I'm going to get to a point where I overthink it to where I'm like, okay, just focus on your feet in front of you. But like, I've been thinking about it so much to where, and it's because my mom died and I'm getting closer to her age. So I feel like, I feel like I've been given a terminal illness diagnosis and I haven't.
Oh,
so
God.
When I was a kid, I was like, oh, I have till I'm like 90 years old. There's plenty of time. I'm not worried about it. And then like my mom died and I was like, oh, I guess that's maybe not true. And then as I've gotten older and older, that's just intensified more and more. So like, you know, 25, I'm 9 years away from when she died. So I'm like, okay, that's what I feel like I have left. So I'm walking around with that. And in some ways it makes me very appreciative of certain things in my life. Like I think part of the reason I'm so appreciative of my relationship is because I'm like, oh my gosh, this could go away. But it's also just not healthy. I did look up the average age, the average lifespan of a person yesterday, which in the US it was like 75. Okay. For women and like 70 for men. And I was like, well, that makes me feel better. That's pretty far away. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so I'm trying to get back into that place of like, you're going to live for a long time. You don't need to think about it right now. It's all right.
Yeah.
And then I'll probably have another spiral when I turn like 50.
Are you talking about this in therapy at all?
I've talked about it a little bit, but not that much. I mean, she's one of those people that's kind of like, but you can't control that. And I'm like, I know, but what else do you got? You know what I mean? Like, cause I know I can't control it, but that's why it's so scary. And just think like for some people, like Kyle's like this, like Kyle just goes, well, I can't control that. So why would I worry about it? And I go,
Cam is the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, cause I could cut down on risk. I don't know. Like, I don't know. I just, it's one of those things where I'm like, okay, there's nothing I can do. But I grew up with religion. So I grew up being told there's something you can do to make sure you're going to be safe after you die.
Yeah.
And it's just these things and believe in this guy and you're great. And now I'm like, I
which
don't
is
know.
Control.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is control. False sense of control.
Yeah.
So you're having some existential crises. That's okay.
A little bit, but it's okay. It's fine. Everything's good.
It happens.
So don't get distracted by things you can't control, like death. Number five, always wanting to please others doesn't work. And being ready to sometimes displease others makes you stronger. Ooh.
This is 100% the one I struggle with the most.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
I don't even know where it comes from. I like wanting others to be okay, or wanting to cause as little waves as possible, or wanting them to like me. It's like, why the fuck do I care? I'm never going to see that person again. Why in this conversation do I care if this person likes me? It's, you know, it's weird. I'm curious to know if that's like maybe like stems from children of divorce in any way, where you're trying to like keep everybody happy and together and keep your family together. That is honestly just like me guessing, but I don't know. I don't know where that deep rooted need to be liked or need to be accepted comes from.
Wow. Cause I mean, when if your parents get divorced, that I think puts this idea in your head, this like fundamental idea that, like you didn't keep them happy, so they are now apart.
For me, this is a big reason why I hate conflict, because I think there is this deep-rooted belief that, oh, conflict means the end of a relationship. Instead of conflict meaning you can better a relationship or you can get stronger or closer. For me, it's like, ooh, if you're fighting, it's over. So if I fight with somebody, oh my God, I'm going to lose them as a friend. I'm going to, you know, if there's a disagreement, then that's it. They're not going to want to be around me.
Yeah.
So I've definitely been a conflict avoider and a people pleaser. And I'm really trying to end that cycle.
Yeah. And what is everyone that saying? I mean, it's another quotable, I guess, but like if you try to please everyone, you end up pleasing nobody. I think about that with comedy a lot, because comedy is just your whole job is making people like you.
Yeah.
And Kelsey and I have talked about this with social media, which is like, you think you're doing everything right on social media because it's part of your job, and then you'll lose a bunch of followers randomly, yeah, and then you'll gain a bunch for something else, and like you think you're making these really conscious moves towards, you know, successful marketing of yourself,
right?
And it's can be really frustrating, and it just teaches you like, oh, not everyone's gonna like everything, and there's literally no way, yeah, to make no, sure everybody's no gonna be on board.
You know, something I heard recently that's really helped me with all that stuff is if you're really being yourself, you're going to attract people, and you're also going to repel people. And that is a good thing.
Yeah.
Because that means you have a very clear point of view. You're being authentic. You're being yourself. A lot of people not going to like you. They're not going to want to follow you on social media. They're not going to want to support you. But the people who do want to, those are your people. Those are your tribe. That, you know, so
yeah.
It's just interesting because I'm making a huge shift on social media. I'm sure some people have noticed and some people haven't. For years, I was using social media to write a joke or promote a show, and it's like Kelsey and Taylor love that part of them. Like, you love comedy, you love stand-up. I was doing stand-up, which I wasn't enjoying, and then on top of it, that's the only thing I was putting out into the world was more stuff that I didn't like. So it was like, hey, come to this show, I don't even want to be here, why am I telling you to come to this show? It felt like such a chore to be putting things out there that I didn't really even want to be doing or caring about. And so I've completely shifted. It's like, okay, when I post something, it's either to share something I care about or to learn something from other people or something of that nature. Maybe it's to make somebody laugh, whatever. But I've actually been enjoying it more that I've used it intentionally.
Yeah.
Versus just putting stuff out there that I wasn't even connected with. And I've noticed I have lost a shit ton of followers when I started doing this.
Wow.
I lost a ton of followers in the beginning because I think a lot of people have been following me because I'm a comedian. And they're like, oh, Delaney's going to post a sarcastic joke or this, and that's why we like her. And I started posting more personal things, and I lost a ton of people. But you know what happened the following week? I gained a ton of people.
Yes.
And I gained people who actually are the people I want to talk to.
And they're like engaging with you.
Yes, and they're engaging. Yeah. So I gained up this whole new group of people. I'm like, oh, I'm okay with this shift. I'm going to get rid of people who don't want to be here, and that's good because they're going to find people that they connect with more.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good thing.
Oh, yeah. You know? For sure. I was going to mention too, that sort of like people pleasing and like being afraid of conflict. And like you said, Delaney, that conflict means the end of something.
Yeah.
I think if you have had a relationship with somebody who has borderline personality disorder, I know for me, at least, that was one of the hardest parts coming off of that, because that really like confirmed that belief for me, because in my past relationship with somebody with borderline, if there was any sort of conflict, even if it wasn't an actual conflict, it could end.
Yeah.
Like, it was so hot and cold that would go from one day everything's fine to the next day like not talking for 2 weeks, or like the next day the relationship's just over. You know, so that's so tough on somebody who's already a people pleaser, because then you start to be like, but I'm doing everything, I'm being the best, I'm being the nicest, I'm doing everything right, and yet it's still not working, and like somebody's still leaving. So I don't know. Mm. That might be another thing too.
That's a good point.
Yeah. I don't know why I don't struggle as much with people disliking me, because I think I dislike so many people that I'm just like, I get it.
That's so funny.
I spent a lot of years disliking me. So when people don't like me, I'm like, I understand. Like, oh, I've been there. Like, I get why. I feel like it's easier to empathize with that when if people like don't think I'm funny, I'm like, well, that's subjective. Like, most people think I'm funny. You know, like even if I'm not your thing, I'm like probably good at my job. But there's only a couple people that like it's only like if friends of mine are upset or like decide they don't like me or something, that'll bug me. But like, yeah, if there's like a lot of people who don't, I'm like, whatever.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal.
I'm trying to get more of that.
Yeah.
In my
give
life.
Me some of that.
Yeah. I don't know. Cause those people suck. Like, we're so awesome. We really are. Like, those people are so dumb.
Man. Self-confidence.
Yeah. another thing mentally strong people don't do is they don't fear taking calculated risks. So they don't take reckless or foolish risks, but they don't mind taking calculated risks. Okay. So they spend time weighing the risks and benefits before making a big decision. So they're fully informed with the potential downsides before they take action.
Yeah, okay? Man.
So it's not being like crazy.
Dude,
you strap yourself into the harness before you bungee jump.
Yeah, but I did this before launching my business. I basically, this is what happened. It's so scary to invest money that you don't have and you don't know if you're going to get back. Or maybe you have it and you want to save it and hoard it for a rainy day. I invested $3,000 in Dick's by Delaney by doing the trademarking, the websites, the this, the that, right? All the packaging, everything. And it was so hard to commit to spending that money knowing that I didn't know what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I committed saying, okay, look, if this goes to shit, I am just going to sell these Dick mugs until I at least make my investment back, even if it takes years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I made it okay. And then I launched, and within 3.5 weeks, I paid off my investment. So yeah. It's just taking that leap and talking yourself into it in a way that makes sense to you.
Yes. Yeah.
And thank God I did that. Thank God I didn't like let the fear get to me, or else I would have probably been still at that day job I hated.
Yeah, yeah,
for sure. Okay. Also, number 7, coming to terms with the past makes you stronger, but it takes concrete steps to do so. So give yourself permission to enjoy your life and be wary of attitudes that keep you from moving on.
Yeah. So don't dwell on the past. That is something mentally strong people don't do. I deal with that a lot. I feel like I think about the past a lot and I beat myself up for things. I think all three of us struggle with that, like beating yourself up for even like things you said, or, you know, when you put your foot in your mouth or whatever else, like, and you almost have to look at the past like something you can't control.
Yeah.
Cause you can't,
yeah.
It's over, you know, like, yeah, you could have controlled it before you did it, but now it's the past and you can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. It's not your future anymore. It's the past. So move on and just learn from it.
Yeah. I have trouble with like my immediate past, like something that happened yesterday, but I don't have much trouble with like 5 years ago. So it's always like, oh, it just happened. It feels like the end of the world. And then I have to remind myself, I still love that quote. If it won't matter in 5 years, don't worry about it for 5 minutes. You know what I mean? Or like something like that. Right.
Yeah.
So I always have to repeat that to myself because the thing that just happened feels like the worst.
Yeah.
And then I have to look back on the past. Like, remember when something similar happened and ended up being okay?
I do that
and now
too.
You're okay.
Yeah.
It's going to be fine.
Totally. That's a good idea. Yeah. See, I will think of something stupid I did in sixth grade and it will make me physically nauseous sometimes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. Jeez. I tried to do homework that I hadn't done. I tried to basically do homework in class, like before third period, and I got caught, and I still think about it. Like once a week.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. The teacher really made me feel horrible about it. She wrote me like a note about how disappointed in me she was and stuff. Oh, and I was like,
have you tried to find her?
No. I hope I never want to speak to her ever again.
Maybe you shouldn't just send her your Instagram.
Like, this is me.
Look, I didn't need social studies.
You see that blue check mark, bitch?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's that was really.
Wow, I can't believe something like that still gets.
Oh my gosh, it fucks with me so hard because I don't really lie very much. So like,
oh man,
that's one of the times I blatantly lied and I got caught. And it's like, I think that's why lying, that's part of why lying fucks with me so much, is because like I never want to feel that way again. So like I can't. I can't lie about things now.
See, I could look at like a childhood memory like that and laugh about it. Like, oh, I was just like a young kid doing crazy shit.
Not me. I'm like, I was 12. I knew what I was doing. I wasn't 12. I was 11. But still.
So you.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
You took yourself just as seriously as a kid as you do and as an adult.
Oh yeah.
Oh man.
Oh yeah. Wow. I used to, my grandma's told me stories where she's like, you were so funny. And then she'll tell me stories and I'm like, no, I was serious. It was just funny that I was so serious when I was three.
Oh man.
Like, I think I wanted to be taken seriously and I just never was. And so I'm like, I guess we're doing this now.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Number eight, mentally strong people don't make the same mistakes over and over. This kind of goes hand in hand with the past thing. Yeah. They accept responsibility for their behavior and learn from past mistakes. As a result, they don't keep making those mistakes over and over again. Mm-hmm. Okay. They just make better. So keep your eyes on your goal. Make a list of the reasons you don't want to repeat a past mistake and make it harder to make mistakes. So don't put yourself in positions where you're likely to mess up again. It's like if you've made a mistake in the past and you can identify the situation or, you know, the event that triggered that mistake,
right,
you know not to even go there anymore. Like if you are lactose intolerant and, you know, if you buy ice cream, you're going to eat all the ice cream. Don't buy ice cream.
Yeah. Right.
You want to do number nine now?
Don't envy other people's success, but rather seek to collaborate with them.
Oh, that's
number
great.
Number nine, baby.
So
how do you think I got next to Taylor and Kelsey? This
same,
is exactly
man.
My game plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is so helpful to collaborate. I know we just did a whole episode about that, about building your tribe. But wow.
And here's the thing is like those people can become your support group and your mentors. And if you're surrounding yourself with people who don't have the results you want, you need to start surrounding yourself with different people.
For sure. Yeah.
Because you're not going to know it's possible until you're around people who are doing what you want to do or where you want to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number 10, don't give up easily, but be self-compassionate about failure.
Yep. Ooh, that's another one we have trouble with.
Yeah,
failing isn't a reason to give up. Okay, they view it as an opportunity to grow and improve. That's what you should do. Whenever anything doesn't work out, just go, all right, cool, this is the first time I failed at this.
Yeah
for sure.
I failure is just not even a word to me anymore, because it really isn't, because all it is, if you're quote unquote failing at something, you're just learning about something. So you're collecting data. That's how I see it. Okay, this didn't work.
Yeah.
I'm going to try this next. Oh, this works. So this is a good thing. I'm learning about this now.
Right.
Oh, now I'm at another roadblock. This didn't work. Okay, what's next? I just don't, you can't fail at something. You're just learning.
Yeah.
That's why I don't even understand that word anymore.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I'll take that from your book.
There you go,
seriously.
Baby.
I feel like for perfectionists, that's like one of the hardest things. In The Artist Way, they talk about, that like for perfectionists, failure is just like not an option.
Yeah.
And it's just like there's no like rough drafts. That's why I think a lot of perfectionists have trouble even starting a new project or starting something that they're not that comfortable with, because they're like, well, if I can't do it perfectly the first time, then I'm just not going to do it.
Yep.
Because like I refuse to feel like I failed or something like that.
Totally. And I fight that every step of the way. But I feel like you build your confidence over time the more you put yourself in that situation.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Number 11 is they don't fear alone time.
I'm pretty good about that.
Yeah, me too.
Finally. I'm like, oh, thank God I'm not completely broken.
Yeah.
One of these that I feel like I'm pretty good at.
I know, right? If you're going through this list and you're like, oh, nope, nope, nope.
Yeah, seriously, we're almost to the end. And I was like, oh my God, am I a mentally weak person?
I need one thing. Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. I love my alone time.
Yeah.
Number 12, many people have an entitlement mentality, but mentally strong people concentrate on giving rather than taking.
Ooh, that's good. So they don't feel entitled to anything. Okay. Yeah. They weren't like born with this idea that, okay, everyone's going to take care of me. You know, the world owes me success
because
I'm me and I'm special.
Right.
So they look for opportunities based on their own merits.
I also think like we've talked about like coming from a place of abundance rather than scarcity. If you think there's enough for everyone and there's enough to go around and there's enough for you, then giving and sharing and stuff is great.
Yes.
But if you think like, oh God, I got to keep my hoard of this over here and nobody's going to get to me, you cut yourself off from everything, connection and learning and growth and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's all fluid. Yeah.
Yeah. And then number 13 is they don't expect immediate results. Oh, that's good. They recognize that achievements take time and progress isn't always immediately apparent. So don't think change is easy and don't create a fixed deadline to reach your ultimate goal. Although they did tell us earlier to do a 30-day goal.
Hey.
So, I mean, I don't want to end this on a... There's just a little bit.
But not the ultimate goal.
Yes.
Just a goal.
Yeah,
a
that's
goal.
More of a short-term goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you want to like write a book, don't be like, gotta write it in 30 days. Right. Like, that's crazy.
Right. Yeah. Oh, man.
That's great.
That was I think really those good. Are awesome. We need to start doing books again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that doing was good. Books. And now it's time to get into our segments real quick.
Yeah. Oh, so how fun.
Who would like to start? Kelsey, you have something?
Yeah, this is like a good shit, I suppose. Kane and I went down to the San Diego area recently because I was getting like my wedding hair trial done.
Oh my so God, pretty. It was so pretty.
Oh, thank you. Yeah,
oh, it's so good. You're going to be so beautiful. Yeah, I can see cry. It all together. I made her send me the picture of her in her wedding dress again because I was staying with my best friend this week and I was telling her about it because we were shopping. And she was like, oh my God. She's like, Kelsey's just like a model.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, I'm like, yeah, no, she absolutely is. She's like, she looks like, I was like, she just looks like what a bride looks like in magazines. Yeah. Like it's insane.
Yeah.
Stop. Yeah. That's so nice.
Oh man. I'm going to have to practice a lot to not cry because I'm going to be up there with you guys. And so if
you really
I,
oh yeah.
Oh, I've cried every time I've officiated a wedding.
You better seriously? Keep your shit yeah. together, girl.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, man.
I married my aunt and uncle. You know what I mean. And then I married two of my close friends, and I cried at both. It's oh, hard.
Wow.
It's very emotional.
That's so sweet. Yeah.
I pull it together eventually. Don't worry. I won't be freaking, you know, it won't
that's
be
really
a mess.
Sweet.
But yeah.
Yeah. I might change the hair a little bit because I like when I look at pictures of it now, I feel like it's like a little too Founding Fathers.
What?
Like it's I just worry that's like a little too poofy and like I don't know.
Do you want to wear it? Does any part of you want to wear part of it down? Because you've
no,
the
I want it up, but I just I'll show you guys some other pictures after. Okay. I feel like yeah, I'm gonna tweak a little bit. Anyway, Kate and I went down there and we just got like a hotel for the night and decided to make it just like a one night go down there. San Diego's our favorite place. And then wake up and I do my wedding hair trial. And I just got to tell people, like, if you have the opportunity to do that and you can just like go somewhere that's within driving distance of where you live and you can afford like a cheap hotel or something just for a night, it really makes such a difference in, I think, how you feel and especially your relationship, like Kane and I being together for so long, sometimes you need to go do something like that and just like get off the couch and not watch The Office for the millionth time in a row. Like just go do something. And we had an amazing time. We got some great food. I had a few drinks. I had such a nice time and it was great. So
that's anyway, awesome.
Just a little tip.
That's fun.
If you haven't done that in a while with your significant other, you might want to try it.
I love it.
Yeah. I love it. What have you got, Delaney?
I have a good shit that ended up kind of being a defuck, but for myself. Okay, here's the thing. Okay, so I've been connecting with a lot of you guys on Instagram, which has been very fun for me. I posted that I have a very complicated relationship with exercise, and I've got so many amazing responses. And one of our friends, Erin, who is an instructor at one of those bar classes,
yeah, Bar Method.
She reached out and asked if I wanted a free class. I'm like, oh, totally. I'll come try it. Okay, you guys. So here's the thing. I tried this. First of all, Erin's an incredible instructor. All of the people in the class are amazing. But okay, so I get there. I got my baggy sweatpants on. I got regular socks on. Okay, everybody's in like cute, tight pants with the those little sticky things on the bottom of your socks, the grippers.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so it's like a ballet bar class. Okay, so I show up in my baggy sweatpants. I'm like, I'm freaking flopping around the floor because I'm slipping everywhere. And we start doing it, and I'm not kidding you guys. Warm up exercise number two, I was fucking winded. I was dying. And then we started getting into the flexibility portion, which is like putting your leg on top of a ballet bar.
Right.
I couldn't do it. So I had to go to the special bar in the middle of the room.
Oh my God.
There's this little special bar in the middle of the room. That's
like for kids.
It's half the height of the regular
it's
bar.
It's like the kids' toilet at Chuck E. Cheese.
You guys, it was something. And I was there. I was like on my own. It was a lone island situation. And I was doing it. And
How big is the bar for like how many like strugglers could be
get
on the
mini
bar.
One, maybe two. It was me, party of one at the struggle bar. Okay.
Oh my God.
And I was doing it. I was looking around like, okay, you know, it's number one. It's day one. Don't judge. What is it? Don't judge other people's highlight reels. So you are behind the scenes, Delaney.
Yeah, yeah.
So, okay, I'm doing okay. Great. And then she puts me next to some experienced girls so they could, I think, were going to be helping me out.
Oh,
basically.
That's nice.
You guys, it took a fucking village to get me through this class. Everybody was so kind and sweet, and they were like propping pillows up behind me, and they were helping me move my leg different distance. Anyway, it kicked my ass completely. It kicked my ass. I will not be going back, but not because
oh my God.
Not because it's not a great class. I appreciate it. It works.
Right.
But it's not for me. I'm not flexible.
It's hard.
It was very challenging. I was scared, but not because of anything anybody was doing. It was really just me.
Yeah.
However, it finally gave me the confidence. It's like, okay, if I can be in a situation where this is not my jam and I survived it, it finally gave me the confidence to sign up for the thing I actually want to try, which is aerial yoga. So I'm going to be, yeah. So I'm going to try, a few classes at a place I found close to my house, my apartment. And I'm going to see how that goes. Cause that's the thing I've actually been wanting to do, but I've been too scared to do it.
Yeah. Really? Like,
well, if I can be fucking miserable and fail at something I have no interest in, I'm sure I can fail and be miserable at something I actually think is like interesting for me.
Right.
So I'm going to do, it was a baby step on the way to getting into working out more. Oh, but my God,
I'm so proud of you for going.
Thank you. You guys would have been laughing your ass off.
I wish we'd all gone together.
I know, me too.
You guys, I mean, wow. The whole new level of what the fuck has happened.
I can't believe you're going to do aerial yoga.
Yeah, well, I'm going to do the beginner classes. But yeah, that's basically my good shit. And it was only to fuck because I'm like, wow, I'm out of shape. I am winded. I cannot lift my leg basically on top of a fucking coffee table. This is a problem.
Really?
I mean, it's a little bit higher than it's maybe a little bit lower than where Kelsey's TV is at, is the bar.
Okay.
Okay.
Like a 90 degree angle, kind of a thing.
Yeah. So my baby bar was like Kelsey's tiny entertainment center.
Well, I haven't done one, so I'm sure I would have trouble too.
I don't think so.
I think so.
This brought me back to middle school when I failed the flexibility test in front of my whole class.
Oh.
Did you guys do that? Remember the presidential test?
You failed it?
Oh, I failed bad. Okay, so you know the little box where you get your centimeters,
yeah,
you put your legs out, whatever. People were getting like 27 centimeters, 32 centimeters. I got 7. That's how bad flexibility has always been bad. And what happens is people make a judgment about my body type. They see like,
yeah,
there's a thin, slender, whatever. She's just not trying hard enough.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh.
And so I would have, this has happened before with like coaches. This has happened before with instructors and taking class. Didn't happen with Erin. She's a lovely human. But they want to like push me or whatever. And I'm like, no, I actually don't know how to, like, I've never been able to do this.
Yeah.
And, anytime I've been in a group class setting, they maybe think that I've done ballet before, or that I've done a class, dance or whatever. And they'll try to like coach me through it. I'm like, no, I'm a fucking beginner. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what you think I can do, but I know what I can do.
Yeah.
And it's not that.
Yeah.
So I think it just was like, it's a loaded journey with my flexibility. It's just, it's not there.
Oh,
and people say, oh no, do it every day and it'll get better. No, I did. Maybe it gets a little better, but I'm not, I've never been able to do it. Even when I was an athlete and it was my fucking job to be flexible, before working out. No.
Yeah.
It didn't help.
Well, I'm really proud of you for going outside of your comfort zone.
I thought you would enjoy that.
I do.
But Erin's the best and her class is amazing. And if you're into that, you should go check it out.
Yeah.
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 I also have a good shit. Let's just keep the good shit train running.
Okay.
I found my wedding dress this weekend.
Oh my God.
Very exciting.
Oh, she looks like an angel.
And it's
so
exactly what I wanted. And my best friend and I were like, she was like, we should go look at wedding. Or I said, let's go look at wedding dresses. And she goes, oh my gosh, yeah. She's like, I'll make an appointment at like a bridal salon. And I was like, Mom, I was just thinking we'd just like go to, wedding barn or something. Yeah, we'll just go to
barn.
Yeah, and just like try some on in like a, a porta potty outside. And she's like, no, we'll go. It'll be fun. We'll drink champagne, or she'll drink champagne. And we'll, have someone helping you, and it'll be like, say yes to the dress, and we won't get it today or anything, but we'll just go look. And then we found it. We found two that we really liked, and one of them was everything I didn't want, and the other one was like exactly what I wanted. Like, to the T, like everything I had pinned online, it was better than that. Like all the stuff I wanted all in one dress. Oh, I know. I did not. I'm still not sure I want a veil, but when they put it on, I was like, okay. And they really like jack you up.
It looked really beautiful.
Yeah, here, like
the dress. And yeah, the veil
like
together.
That's crazy. Like,
it's, oh wow. Oh
my God. And they tell you how to stand. They're like, stand to the side, and then we'll get the veil.
You need the veil.
I just got chills, baby.
I know, but I tried on so many, and then
but
this
it also
was
looks good without the veil.
This was the other one.
Oh, I loved that one so much.
I did too, and it
but
was
I really,
really
loved both of them.
It was really hard to not get that one.
The other one
they
just
were.
Looks like you.
Yeah, that's you know? You. That's like princess fairy wedding
exactly.
Dress,
yeah.
Which is like stunning and beautiful, and you look incredible.
And it fit me perfectly. Was the other thing like it didn't really need to be altered or anything.
Oh,
like
God,
my boobs looked amazing in it, but it was a lot of skin.
Yeah,
I felt like for me, which wasn't something I was comfortable with. Just my family's more conservative. It's at like a family home, you know. Sure. It's I don't know. I think I mean I could have gotten it. It would have been fine. But and I just I loved like the design on it and everything. I thought it was so beautiful and I felt so beautiful in it. But then I put on that one and I was like,
yeah, dude, that's.
But
so
I had to try
like
them both.
Red carpet.
That was
I know. Should I show you the back?
Yeah. No,
I know.
Oh my God!
You guys are gonna freaking cream your shorts when you see Kelsey and Taylor's dresses.
Yeah, God, and mine and Kelsey's are so different, and they both look exactly
and both
like
show
us.
You. That's
yeah.
What's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It is fun. That is a really fun part about wedding dress shopping is finding the thing that's you,
which is so funny because this was the first one I tried on, and I'm like, I love this one. And then by the time we got to the end, we were like, fucking ew.
You still look stunning in that, but yeah, it's not you.
Oh, I wanted to show you. There was another one that wasn't me at all, but Courtney was like, "Oh my God, that looks fucking amazing on you." And I was like, "Yeah, but I would like never." It was all beaded and stuff, but it was more like fitted and stuff.
Oh, yeah. That's
is that
beautiful.
Like, what do you want? That feels like something you'd wear. But maybe not.
I'm actually more in line with what you got, but more skin.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
A lot more skin. I want my tits out.
That kind of
I paid good money for this shit. I want everybody seeing those on my wedding day.
Oh my
God.
See,
that was my thing is like, I'm like, I'm going to have plenty of chances to wear things with cleavage. Like, you know,
you want to be comfortable.
I want to be comfortable. That's what it was. I just wanted to be comfortable. And it's outside is the other thing. If I'd been indoors, I would have been more comfortable with like more skin.
Yeah.
But because we're outside.
Yeah. I want to be comfortable. And I also want everybody to look at my boobs.
That's 100%. I talked with one of my best friends who's also getting married this summer about that fine line of like, fuck, like you want to look so beautiful and you want to look hot, like you want to feel hot and you want your soon to be husband to think you're hot too, but then you're also like your grandpa is standing right next to him and you don't want your grandpa looking at your tits, so it's like what's that balance between like a little tit, not too much
classy tit.
I feel like mine's still like a lot of tit, but
I feel like yours
tit.
Is
you
just yeah you're
just
tit. You're not gonna be able to
it's either
that.
I wear a turtleneck or you're gonna see tits.
And it's like, not too low, like
it's not, they just put so much, they literally sewed like two Nerf footballs into this dress because like you can't really wear a bra with a lot of wedding dresses, and so they just like sew in padding, and I put it on and I was like, oh my God, like okay, this is what this is like, they're like hard, it's a real
you
it's
guys
a real
I think when obviously when the weddings happen, you should post exclusive pictures in Patreon.
That's what I'm thinking.
Before you post it publicly.
Oh,
a little incentive. Also, quick announcement. We do not have a video for this episode. So if you guys are used to watching on YouTube, it's just the audio. This
we look gross.
And we
right
thank
now.
You for, trust me. You're sorry. What do I mean to say? You guys would be thanking us.
Yeah.
Like you don't
want
to see
seriously.
Us right now.
Oh, yeah. But yeah. And thank you guys for being available for me to send you a bunch of wedding dress pictures the other day also. Because that was very helpful. Because again, I didn't expect to find it that day, so when we were there I was like, well, I gotta send this to all my group chats to get everybody's opinion and stuff, and then like it was also nice on the thing of like I'm glad mine's more like conservative because it was like I sent it to my dad, like he'll like it, it'll be fine, you know what I mean, and then he got to be a part of it too because I didn't want to send it to him and feel like he was gonna be like that's a little you know
much,
whatever like I need to, I'm trying to write a joke about it, about like what we're talking about, just
it's
like
perfect dude, it's gorgeous,
the like oh I'm gonna do the daddy daughter dance in this deep V, you know, like
right, exactly.
You're like no, this is a really
God,
low back.
That. Maybe I should cover. There'll
that's
be some of it, but there'll be more than usual. But it'll
you'll
be
all
fine.
Pressed up against your dad, just bare titted.
Oh,
that's what I thought about in that other dress.
Oh, gross.
Well, yeah, like
there are so many like weird sexual traditions.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean, like I have those jokes on stage about like
the garter one.
Garter toss. Like yeah. People get down, like guys get down under the dress and pull the garter off with their teeth.
Yeah, no.
And then that I'm like, so yeah, I don't gross. Want Kane doing that, like while my dad takes pictures. Like that's yeah.
That's disgusting. Oh,
so uncomfortable. Yeah. Like nobody wants to watch that happen.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, good stuff.
I think it's weird. Part of it's like, well, I don't know. It's we should end the episode, but I'm like, but I think the wedding dress thing, I feel the same way about like wearing, like I don't even feel like I should wear a bathing suit in front of my father anymore. I think it's weird that I used to, like oh. I'm even at that point where I'm
yeah,
like,
no, I feel the same.
Oh yeah,
like, I mean unless it's a one piece, but like my bikinis, like tits are out.
Oh, yeah,
like I don't really want suits in front of my dad, but he has a really nice hot tub, so I'm always in it.
Yeah,
yeah,
and I'm not gonna be in there with a freaking, I don't know.
Yeah,
shorts
yeah.
And a
baggy
tea.
Shirt. Yeah,
yeah.
So this episode right. Comes out on Monday, June 10th. This weekend, I'm going to be at the Great American Comedy Festival in Norfolk, Nebraska. If you're in Nebraska and that's near you, I'm not very familiar with the geography of Nebraska itself, but if you're near there, come out to that. And then I just got word that I'll be headlining the American Comedy Company Club in San Diego, July 25th through the 27th. I love that club. I was there last year and I'm excited to be back. So all the San Diego helpsters, I think we've got a lot of those, right? San Diego,
I don't
La Jolla
know.
Area. Didn't you have people come out to La Jolla?
Not so much. Not as much.
Oh, okay.
Well, not as many podcast
I know
people.
We have a couple good ones from San Diego.
We yeah, do. We definitely do. It wasn't like DC or anything, though.
Yeah. Okay. Well. Anyway, July 25th through the 27th, I will be there, and then
prove me wrong.
I just uploaded a bunch more dates to my calendar, so go to kelseycook.com and see if I'm coming to a city near you.
Yeah. And then I'm going to be headlining Flappers in Burbank the 14th and 15th of this month. And then June 27th through 30th, I am at Levity Live in West Nyack, if you're on the East Coast. And then the few days after that, like July 1st through 4th, I'll be in New York. I don't know where or anything. So just keep an eye on my Instagram.
As far as Dicks by Delaney, I have been loving dickifying all your dads for Father's Day. That shit has been hilarious.
Oh my god.
I announced that like you have to get your orders in by June 7th, but for the helpsters, if you really want a Father's Day dick mug, if you get your order in today the 10th, I might be able to swing it and ship it to you by Father's Day. I'll let you know. So yeah, if you're interested in that is, it's been so fun for me.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And subscribe to the podcast if you aren't already, and please give us a 5-star rating and review. It helps keep us on the charts, it helps us get up the charts.
Yeah.
And
subscribe, because then we just pop up in your feed automatically. You don't have to like search for us every Monday.
Yeah, it's
which
free
is,
just click the button.
It's so
yeah.
easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we love you guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Love you.
Bye.
You guys, we love you so much. Thank you for supporting Self Helpless. You can follow us on social media, on Instagram and Facebook at Self Helpless Podcast. And you can visit selfhelplesspodcast.com for all things Self Helpless. Learn about Patreon and how to sign up. Our merch is there. Information about our Facebook group and how to join. All the episodes you can listen to are on there. A little bit about the show. Our individual sites are linked there. And our contact information, email, and P.O. box if you want to send us some love letters. And yeah. You can follow us individually as well. I am at Delaney Fisher on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And DelaneyFisher.com, where you can watch my docu-comedy special, Love at First Cousin, for free. And then DicksByDelaney.com if you want to buy some dick mugs.
Sweet. I'm at Kelsey Cook Comedy on Instagram, at Kelsey Cook on Twitter, kelseycook.com for all tour dates and merch. And my album, Savor It, is still available to buy on iTunes. And you can watch Wrists of Fury, my foosball web series that has an episode of Taylor and Delaney on the All Things Comedy YouTube channel.
I am at Taylor Tomlinson on Twitter and Instagram, and ttomcomedy.com for my Netflix special and all live tour dates.
Sweet. We love you guys
so much.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye-bye.